We are truly grateful to God to be here this morning, for he is worthy to be praised, to Dr. Garland, Dr. Tucker, Dr. Gore, Dr. Gregory, all the staff of Truett, my professors. I pray that you won't be embarrassed. To all who are gathered here this morning, to the St. Luke family, God bless you. To friends in the community, to preachers near and far, to my peers of the classroom, especially to my mother. Amen. Thanks, Mom. And I'll get in trouble if I don't say my son. Thank you all for being here this morning and sharing such an awesome time and task with me. God is good. There is a word from the Lord. And I almost turned and walked out when I saw the title, because I thought God had played a trick on me. But I am now relieved that I can preach what I have prepared. Let's pray. Speak, Lord. Use your servant. Let us hear a word from you. In the name of Jesus, we pray and we thank you. Amen. The text has already been read, so I won't go back over that part. I just want to share with you a few thoughts about workplace blues. I think we've all suffered from it. I think that it is safe to say that at one time or another, all of us have felt like pulling our hair out. I think we've all had some difficult days. I think we've all had some times where we have asked ourselves, why did I even bother to get out of bed? It can be tough in the workplace. It can be difficult in the classroom. Life is rough. In the October 12th, 2000 edition of The Guardian of London, an article written by Andrew Osborne entitled "Workplace Blues Leaves Employees in the Red" was published. Osborne cites a profound observation from the United Nations report and states, "The workers of the world are united in one thing, and that is record levels of stress." The report further notes that depression is the workplace's second most disabling illness for workers after heart disease. For example, in the UK, 3 in every 10 workers have mental health problems, and 1 in every 20 suffer from major depression. Stress accounts for 14% of sick leave taken and 80 million lost working days each year. The annual cost of productivity loss due to stress is $5.3 billion. In Finland, more than half of the workforce is blighted by stress-related symptoms, 7% severely burnt out, and the country suffers from a high rate of suicide. In Germany, almost 7% of early retirements are caused by depression. The number of working days lost annually is 2.3 million, and the annual cost of productivity loss due to stress-related absenteeism is $1.5 billion. But let's bring it closer to home. In the U.S., one out of every 10 workers suffer from clinical depression. With 200 million lost working days a year and a bill treatment and lost earning and working time of $300 billion. Downsizing, right-sizing, layoffs, mergers, long hours, difficult and demanding clients, short-term contracts, long-term contracts, high productivity demands, deadlines, threats, harassment, and hostility are all influential culprits that may leave employees frazzled, frightened, and frustrated, and on the verge of a nervous breakdown, or to the breaking point, the boiling point, that it seems that an employee walkout is the only option. Workplace blues is and its effect on employees and its causes are not a new phenomenon. It can happen in any occupation, any profession, or any vocation, including ministry. And no position or title is exempt. Even though the strongest and most committed workers are subject to discouragement and failure. In this 19th chapter of 1 Kings, Elijah transforms from a productive, victorious, confident prophet in control to a frazzled, frightened, and frustrated worker on strike. When we peek into Elijah's work file, we will find that this is the one that God used to stop the rain from falling for 3.5 years. When we look into Elijah's work file, he is the undisputed champ at the showdown at Mount Carmel. When we look into Elijah's file, his work file, we will see that he is the one who outran Ahab's chariot on foot by the power of God. When we look into Elijah's work file, his performance evaluations are full of far exceed exceptional and exceed expectations. However, when we get to chapter 19, it reflects a different person because the human conditions of fear, frustration, and fatigue has transformed Elijah into a self-centered, narrow-minded, complaining fraidy cat with a selective memory. All was fine with this great prophet until violence in the workplace seemed imminent. Due to Jezebel's threat, Elijah forgot about God, put himself first, and walked off the job without notice or warning. Elijah initiates a wildcat strike and leaves his call without a conference call, without negotiations, or even an exit interview. When Jezebel flipped the script on Elijah and he became the prime target, Elijah just couldn't handle it. Therefore, he abandoned his kingdom assignment and ran. But before we get too down on Pastor Elijah, Peter Drucker once said the four hardest jobs in America and not necessarily in this order, are the President of the United States, a university president, a CEO of a hospital, and yes, you guessed it, a pastor. With this in mind, please don't get too hard and don't think too harsh of Pastor Elijah, because many of us would do and have done just as he did when circumstances and situations arise that we cannot find an easy or an immediate answer. We are sometimes quick to abandon the work that God has placed into our hands when we cannot see victory in the horizon. So that's why I'm here this morning. I realize that we have struggled some and we have had some difficult days, but I come to encourage you this morning. Don't give up. Don't walk away and don't throw in the towel. God will take care of you. Workplace blues can happen wherever vision, creativity, and productivity takes place. The workplace, we must understand, is no longer the traditional office cubicle or production line. The workplace may be in your home, or it may even be in your traditional office. Sometimes it may be in the classroom, because some of us have given up our employment so that we can go to school full time. And it can even be in your church. Workplace blues can happen in any occupation, profession, or vocation. No position or title is exempt. When we examine the backdrop of our text this morning, we will find the prophet Elijah a victim of workplace blues. When Elijah came to the boiling point where he could take no more, the Bible says in 1 Kings 19:3 and 4 that he goes to Beersheba. And when he gets there, he leaves his servant behind. And he walks another day's journey into the wilderness. He finds a juniper tree and takes refuge underneath the tree. Elijah may have exceeded the boundaries of Jezebel's reign and Jezebel's empire, but he could never, ever get away from God. So no matter where you run, walk, swim, or fly, no attempt you have can cause you to get away from God. God will find you and he will meet you where you are. Elijah was sitting under this juniper tree feeling sorry for himself. And he had a death wish on his mind. Have life ever been so difficult that you wish God would just take you away from here? When we look at the prophet's situation, he was exhausted, he was disillusioned, and his perspective was distorted. Pastor Elijah needed to exhale. This brother was waiting to exhale. He needed to blow it all out. You see, he was tired from the showdown at Mount Carmel, and perhaps he was suffering from foot lag, not jet lag. They didn't have jets back then. From his sojourn to Beersheba when he took his day trip into the wilderness, Elijah was disillusioned about his victory on Mount Carmel. He knew that he had won, and perhaps he thought that old Jezebel should have just given up and surrendered. But the fight was not over. You see, Jezebel took it to another level when she sent out the tweet to Elijah, "You're next." Elijah's perspective was distorted because he focused on the negative instead of the positive, which caused him to sink deeper and deeper into despair. God will take care of you, no matter what your situation may be. God knew that Elijah needed rest and he needed food if he were to make it to Mount Horeb. You've got to understand why Elijah was trying to make it to Mount Horeb. You see, Mount Horeb is also Mount Sinai. Mount Horeb is Mount Sinai, the holy place of God. It was the place where God gave his commandments to his people. It was the holy place where God hid Moses in the cleft of the rock as he passed by. We have to understand this morning that he was saying, I need to make it to the holy mountain of God. Can you hear Pastor Elijah this morning? If I can just make it to the mountain of God. Some of us this morning, we were thinking to ourselves, if we could just make it to the chapel this morning, if we could just hear a word from the Lord, perhaps I will be encouraged to go on a little bit further. When Elijah finally gets to Mount Horeb, he goes immediately into a cave. We see here that I want to give you just a teeny bit of food for thought from the lips of Kenny Logans. He said, and I agree wholeheartedly, running away will never make you free. Therefore, I've come with a message this morning for those of us, those of you who have run away from your call, who have run away from your assignment, who have run away from your work. Your work is not in the cave. So come out. Come out wherever you are. Your work is not in the cave. God is calling you this morning out of the cave. And when we look at verse 9, God asked Elijah a very simple question. What are you doing in this cave? God again meets Elijah where he was. After Elijah lamented and complained about how Israel had forsaken their God, how they had torn down his altars, how they had killed his prophets, and he was the only one left. We see that God had to speak Elijah out of the cave. Sometimes we are so consumed with our own personal welfare that we are blind to the details of truth. And note, not one time did Elijah mention the victory on Mount Carmel or the restoration of the covenant between God and his people, or the rebuilding of God's altars, or the execution of the prophets of Baal. The only thing Elijah's selective memory could recall was Jezebel tweeted and said that she was going to take me out, and I am the only one. Some of us are so self-centered that we think that we're the only one. If we don't show up, then worship cannot go on. Well, I hate to burst your bubble this morning. God just desires to use you. He does not have to have you in order for him to do his will. Well, when we look at the Bible, we see that Elijah stood at the door of the cave. The Bible says in verse 11 and 12, God's revelation of himself to Elijah was manifested through the presence and power of a strong wind, so powerful that it tore the mountains and shattered the rocks. But we see that God's message to Elijah wasn't in that. Then the earthquake came, but God's message was not in that. Then the fire came, but God's message was not in the fire. So after the wind, after the earthquake, after the fire, came a gentle whisper, a still small voice. We've got to learn how to hear God above the noise. Elijah recognized it was the voice of the Lord. And once again, God asked him, "What are you doing in this cave?" So God is asking, I believe, each one of us this morning, if you happen to be in a cave, where a cave is when you're not where you are called to be, a cave is when you're not doing what God has called you to do. So what are you doing in this cave? Elijah should have been, he should have been back in Israel, serving as a spiritual leader back in Samaria, but we see that he's bound himself in a cave. But I stop by to remind you, cave or not, God will meet you where you are. He will meet you, he will find you wherever you are. So I'm here to encourage you this morning. Don't give up. Don't walk away. And don't throw in the towel, because God will take care of you. Workplace blues can happen in any labor venue, occupation, profession, or vocation. No title or position is exempt. PastorBurnout.com says burnout recovery is not simple nor a quick process. And they list 5 recovery strategies for workplace blues. First of all, they tell you to prepare for the journey, which means assess the damage. How messed up are you? Then it says know your competition. What are you up against? Then it says make time for pit stops, which means you need to rest, exercise, and eat right. Then it tells you to travel light, because burnout is usually associated with a host of tangled emotions, sin, and struggles. Then it says focus on your call and delegate everything else. And finally, it says travel in a group. It says you cannot do this by yourself. Now, this strategy sounds like a workable solution. It sounds reasonable, but the text says in verse 13, they didn't go through all of this. They didn't do any assessment. They didn't do any of that stuff. But the Bible says that God spoke to Elijah through a still small voice. And that still small voice overcame the workplace blues. You see, it counseled out depression. It counseled out frustration. It counseled out fear. And it gave Elijah a new contract and a new assignment. So even when you mess up, God can still use you. As Elijah stood before God on the cleft of the mountain, anticipating God's response to his allegations and concerns, he received an unexpected answer. He wasn't ready for this, but go back the way you came. You see, God did not coddle Elijah's fears or disappointment. He sent Elijah back into the battle with a different strategy. Elijah had to be shown that he was not the one on to complete God's plan to defeat Baal. In other words, don't think that you are so great and important in God's plan that he cannot accomplish it without you. God instructed Elijah to commission some others to carry out the plan. He said, anoint Hazael, anoint Jehul, then anoint Elisha. The Bible said God had a plan, and he began to say, he said in verse 17, Hazael, if they pass by his sword, then Jehul will kill him, and if they pass by his sword, then the prophet Elijah will get him. God was serious about the cleanup in Israel, and he's serious about the cleanup right here in the world today. God, he then assured Elijah, because you know Elijah was self-centered. He said, I am the only one left, and you know if you let anything happen to me, Lord, then the ministry can't go forward. But he assures Elijah in the 18th verse, he says, no, prophet, you are not the only one left. I have 7,000 prophets in Israel whose knees have not bowed down to Baal, whose lips have not kissed him. But may I ask you a question this morning? It's kind of a personal question, and maybe you don't want to answer it out loud. Where have your knees bended to, and who have you kissed with your lips lately? I realize this morning, when the enemy comes in like a flood, it can leave you frazzled, frightened, and frustrated. I realize that stress and suffering can cause you to walk away from your call and leave your kingdom assignment. I realize that trials, trouble, and trauma can cause you to give up and declare defeat. But I've come to encourage you this morning. It's just one more test. I encourage you this morning. Don't give up. Don't walk away. And don't throw in the towel. God will take care of you. If you call him, he will answer. If you trust him, he will lead you, because he is faithful to his word. I declare you can look up to heaven and with confidence and proclaim, great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All that I needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. If he's faithful to me, he'll be faithful to you. Don't worry about the workplace blues. God bless you. And God keep you is our prayer. Workplace blues.